It Is Well. That song goes right in line with what Pastor Bill shared with us. And he stirred up something in me. If I get to my message, fine. If not, I'll just share these few words with you. And if I don't get to my message, it's Bill's fault. He started it. Hallelujah. But I want to say, in line with what he said about, and tie this, if I can, all together, about just how that, you know, we don't know everything. When he said that, my Lord, nor did the saints in the Old Testament, and nor did many of them in the New Testament. You know, when Jesus would talk to the disciples, you would see it. It would say, but this was hidden from them. They didn't know what it meant. Last week, I shared with you that I had Doug here because I wanted to give Tori a break. But you see, we don't know everything. So let me bring it down. Let me just, as Bill shared, let me just kind of expand on it a little bit. Last Saturday when Tori was doing this thing for school and getting home late Sunday, I got on my knees Saturday night to pray and get and work over the song list. And as I got on my knees, it was as if the Holy Spirit said, you know, text Doug and see if he can come and give your daughter a break. And it was just as clear as, I mean, as clear as the day. So I just did what I felt in my heart. And I thought to myself, well, if you don't text, you'll never know. So, but you go ahead and text him. So I texted him. He texted me right back and said, yeah, I'd be glad to. No problem. And so I texted Tori and told her, you have the day off. And I think I said that Sunday morning. She got the message Sunday morning. She says, well, I'm coming anyhow. And so you know how we are. When you're doing something, you feel led of the Spirit. And then it looks like what you were led to do ain't working out. I said, now, wait a second. I said, now, Lord, I called Doug in to have her off, but now she's coming. And it looks like, well, you should have just had her play. And I said, yeah, because that's how we are as humans. Why? Because we don't know everything. Listen, beloved, you don't have the whole picture. I don't have the whole picture. I'm reading through the book of Genesis right now, and I'm always intrigued when I get to Genesis 12. Because God, you know, in I'm weaving my message into this, because some of this is in my message, but I'm going to weave it in, okay? And I'm not trying to get you out early so you can see the end of the football game, but that ain't it, okay? So, here we go. So, anyhow, so... I just did what I felt to do, and Tori came to church, and here Doug leads verses four, and we had a, even though we didn't know all the songs, then we had a glorious time. I don't know about you, but amen, hallelujah, sang myself happy. Good gracious. And so, just loving on the Lord. And so, and Tori's here and everything, and I'm still looking at it going, but Lord, you said to give her, and, but it don't make sense to have both of them here. Until, everybody say until. I had to do that just to be like the other preachers, you know, everybody say, just have a little fun. I don't need to say that. I was just having a little fun. Okay, but now listen though. Until I'm standing back here and I said, Doug, brother, thank you so much for coming. He says, oh no. He says, no, thank you. He says, I felt like I was supposed to be here. Then he says, Pat, when I worship with you, I feel like I want to go, woo! That's what he said. He said it standing right back there. And so I'm looking at him. And I said to him, well, Doug, anytime you feel like, you just need to go ahead and express, because as he's talking, I'm sensing that The Lord is after something bottled up within him. Jeremiah said, when I held back your word, I felt like fire set up in my bones. And he said, and so when Doug said he felt like he said, I feel like crying. I feel like shouting. I feel like running all at the same time. And I was like, And then it was then that the Holy Spirit said, that's why I had you text him Saturday night. Now, you saw only your daughter. But I was looking at something much bigger. So now, beloved, I'm saying that we don't know everything. In Genesis chapter 12, God says to Abraham, now the last person that God spoke to before Abraham was Noah. And the title of my message was called, And God Said. And God Said, because all of this is here because God said. And God spoke to Noah and said, Noah, the end of all the earth has come before me. Build yourself an ark. And in there, God saved the family and thus the human race. But then after Noah, it went on through generations, until God got down to Terah, the father of Noah. Excuse me, the father of Abraham. He gets down to Abraham. And you don't know anything about Abraham other than the fact that he is Terah's son. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 says, God says, get out of your country, get away from your family. Go to a land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. And it wasn't a lot of detail. It's just kind of like what happened Saturday night. You know, text Doug. And have him lead worship. Now that God didn't bring me in on what he was doing. He didn't bring Abraham in on the full picture of what he was doing. Because God was busy bringing his son into the earth through Abraham. And so, it was so many saints. Isaac and Rebekah. Rebekah didn't know what God was doing when she told Jacob, go get your brother's clothes. But, mother, my father will curse me. She said, let your curse be upon me. She didn't know when she lied and connived and got that. All of these things that are happening throughout the scripture with God's people. And so you and I, when we live our everyday lives and we wake up, and everyone has an agenda. Come on. Everyone has an agenda. But we're told to pray, thy kingdom come, your agenda be done. We have our agenda. But Jesus said for us to pray that we exalt his agenda and his will above our own. Lord, here I am and here I go. When I stepped into that lady's house last June, and she told me, I was with some pastors just Friday down in Richmond. And I was telling some pastors this story. When she told me, your primary reason being in my house today was not to clean my carpet. When she said that, my perspective went to another level in terms of what God is doing in our lives. Because she made it clear to me that God, the first priority was the word of God coming to her. And so that began to lay a foundation in my own life about when God, and if God is sovereign, R.C. Sproul said something that it rattles your perspective and changes it. He said, if God is sovereign, then everything that happens, he has ordained that it would be. Now, it sounds like fate, but it isn't. Okay? In other words, if God is sovereign, then he's in control of everything. He has the last word. And if it happens, he has to allow it. If he's sovereign, then that means nothing can happen. If something happened beyond his control, it would mean he's not sovereign. See? And so everything that happens, He has to allow it. Thus, he is sovereign. And therein comes the when people say, well, what about evil? God allows evil, but not without accountability, because everyone is going to give an account. Right. And so when then I look at my life and I've got this, as Bill said last week, I've got this appointment scheduled. And the customer calls in and cancels. Now, I've got a choice to make. If God is sovereign, then I'm okay. Hello? I said, if he's sovereign, and he is, then I'm okay. The song we just got done singing, Horatio Spafford, who lost his girls over the Atlantic, said that God had taught him to say something he taught. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, I have learned to be content whether I have little or much. He says, I have learned. I have learned. And so God is teaching us. He's teaching us. Come on, beloved. And sometimes, like I said, someone years ago says, I can't take this anymore. When they said that, God didn't shuffle around and say, I'm sorry. I'm going to remove it now since you can't take it no more. You know what? That person went through it for years. Years. You say, why? Because God is able to keep you through whatever suffering you might have to bear. So Horatio Spafford was saying, he said that whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. It is the world that cannot take its lot and wants to end it. It is the world that says, I can't bear this no more. This isn't fair, this isn't right, and tries to bring an end to it. But God, who is sovereign, and his grace that is sufficient for us will keep us. So now in my life, this is a work in progress. I haven't arrived, I'm not there. But in every facet of my life, if my life is his, and it is, then whatever he chooses to do with my life, I'm okay with it. So be it, Lord. And so in John chapter 19, when Jesus had risen from the dead and he had spoken to Peter and restored Peter, do you love me 3 times? And Peter said, you know that I love you. He turned and saw John walking with Jesus. And Jesus said, well, what about this man? And Jesus talked about the suffering that Peter would endure and that this man, if he will, for him to live. It was about God's sovereign work. Peter, whatever you have to go through, wherever I lead you, you simply follow me. You simply follow me and know that if I allow it, then I've provided grace for you to go through it. That's why it's such a travesty to look at somebody else's life and say, they have it easy and I have it hard. Because if you were going through what that person was going through without the grace of God, it would kill you. It would upset you so you wouldn't be able to handle it. God has given each one of us grace for where we are. And so I find myself where I believe Paul often found himself, where we all find ourselves in the situations of life. You know, let me bounce around. Let me go back to the disciples. In Acts chapter 1, after Jesus had showed himself alive, after many infallible proofs, the scripture says, he says to his disciples that I want you to go and wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. in Acts chapter 1. And then the disciples said this, just to show you where they were, just to show you how they hadn't gotten it. They didn't know it all. They said, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And they were still had in their mind, Jesus, you're the king who has come to restore Israel to its greatness, its prominence. They had no idea. Jesus had just shortly before he died prophesied the fall of Jerusalem, which happened in 70 A.D. He had just prophesied Israel's fall. They are looking for Israel's rise to prominence and governance and kingdom and all of this. Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit has come upon you and you shall be my witnesses. And so he goes on and it just shows that the disciples were in a place where they did not know it all. Things were hidden from them. All down to, into Acts chapter 9 and 10, Peter was the first apostle to take the gospel to the Gentiles. And Peter was so steeped in Jewish tradition and in Jewish, not hierarchy, but just in their loftiness, that when God wanted to use him to go preach to the Gentiles, God had to, couldn't just tell him. He had to give him a dream or catch him up in a trance. And so while food is being prepared, Peter is sitting and he falls into a trance and he sees, you know, the sheet let down four corners, all this rise, Peter kill and eat. No, Lord, I've not eaten anything common or unclean. Not me. No, I'm a Jew. I'm a strict Jew. I follow the letter of the law. And so the Lord had to give him that while simultaneously sending some men to knock on the door. And not only that, but then the Holy Spirit had to say, there are men waiting at the door. Go down to them doubting nothing. The Holy Spirit, this is what the Holy Spirit had to do to get the church, the apostles straight. Because he couldn't see it all. All he could see was the gospel going to the Jews. When God said, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. And so Peter goes with Cornelius, obviously, and they all, while Peter is speaking the word, the Holy Spirit falls upon them. Hallelujah. That's what happens when we speak the word. While we're speaking the word, the Holy Spirit falls. And the Jews who were with Peter of the circumcision, they said, oh, this isn't right. How could this be? God, you sure? These people, Gentiles. God, what God was doing, he had the big picture in mind when we oftentimes have this little view. And so my prayer has become not necessarily, Lord, show me the big picture, because I can't handle the big picture. Hello? I'm just telling you the way it is. I can't handle the big picture. But my prayer has become, Lord, help me to be obedient and faithful in the little bit you show me. If I just have that little bit, help me, Lord, right? Because like I said, we don't know. We just don't know. When Elizabeth and Zachariah want a son, and I was sharing this with the pastors, you know, all they had in view was a son. We want a son. God had in view, I'm looking for a prophet for my son. You got your will, but I got mine, and I'm going to marry mine with yours, and I'm going to bring to pass something great in the earth. Listen, I believe the same thing that God was doing through them, God does through you and I. Hello. I said, we have our will, but now we need to realize God says, but I have something that I'm wanting to do. He says, will you let me marry it with your will? Come on. 1 Samuel chapter 1, I'm reading through that book too. And you know, I've shared with you the story of how Hannah went through her barrenness, but God had to allow her a circumstance through which he could bring and channel his glory. Same thing what Bill just shared. Look, the principles all throughout the scripture. God allowed a circumstance in John chapter 9 through which he could channel his glory through this blind man being healed. And so Hannah, all she wanted was a son. But God said, but I want a priest and I want a prophet. He said, Eli's not getting it done. And Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, tearing up my laying with the women at the temple gate. When you read that, when you read that passage of scripture, when you see what Eli's, the pastor's sons, were doing, when you put it into this, it would blow your mind. I mean, you're sitting there, I'm reading that, I'm going, whoo, man, for real? Yeah. Well, so God brought Hannah, who wants a son, because God wanted a prophet. And God says, I'm going to get both done, the likes of which you and I could never orchestrate. We could never do it. See? And so when Kweku and his wife wanted children, see, God said, that's fine. I'll give you a daughter and I'll give you a son. But in the process of giving you a daughter, I want somebody who can go fast. He said, because, see, I'm going to give you what you want, but I'm going to get what I want. And I'm going to get some glory out of this that I'm giving you. And what I just tied together there is not just true of her. Beloved, it's true of every one of us if we could see it. If we could see it. And so when I pray over my children, hey, I said, Father, I know what we wanted, but how about you show us what you want? Come on now. When I pray over Cedric this morning, I said, God, I know what Marilyn wanted, but would you show us what you wanted? Come on, because, you know, listen, beloved, all this is his. I prayed over Robert and Melissa this morning. And your three grandbabies, I said, Father, look. And listen, sometimes it looks so bad because it's not happening in our time. It's not happening according to the way we want it to happen. But, beloved, if the scripture's true, and it is, God's going to do it in his own way, and he's going to do it in his own time. And listen, when it's done that way, he gets all the glory. He gets all the glory. So then your life and my life were created for his glory and for his good pleasure. And so Paul in Philippians chapter 1. Let me read this. Paul is writing from jail, the Philippian epistle. He wrote a number of his epistles from prison. And Paul says this in chapter 1 of Philippians, verse 12. But I want you to know, brethren. Let me see if I can, if he says up here. No, he doesn't mention the fact that he's in prison. But he says in verse 12, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me, listen, have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. So what had happened to Paul? Well, this is what happened to Paul. They threw him in jail. Now, beloved, what good comes out of being thrown in jail? I can tell you this. You may come up with some good from it, but the person who in jail, they ain't coming up with any good from it. You say, what good? You lock me up. And I'll tell you what good's coming from this. Absolutely nothing. Because I don't fancy being locked up in jail. But Paul is, he's in jail. And he says that the events or the things that happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. What was Paul doing? He was preaching the gospel. He was spreading the gospel. So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard. Where is he? He's in Rome. And to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So how do we train people to speak the word without fear? Well, we call a conference. You know, write all the churches and bring all the pastors in, sit them down. We put slides up, tell them this is how you preach the word without fear. How does God do it? He throws one of his apostles in jail. And all the other people say, wow, he's in jail. We're going to preach the word. And they just get up and now they're bold. Okay. God's ways, his ways are not our ways. I mean, come on. When you look at your life and you say, You're praying about how to go about something and all. And then prayer, you're telling the Lord how this is, Lord, what we need to do. Lord, I need this to happen, this to happen, this to happen. And it would be good if you could do it and line it up this way. Wait a second. Listen at what you're doing. Listen at what you're saying. Hello. No, just tell him what you need. Back off. Just back off. One day I was in prayer. I've told you this before. One day I was in prayer. The Lord said to me, he said, son, when I tell you I'm going to do something, don't try and figure out how I'm going to do it. He said, don't even start. He said, don't try. Just know if I said it, I'm going to do it. It's done. He said, I'm going to do it because I'm God. He says, but you're not going to figure it out. You're not going to figure it out because his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are higher than ours. Amen. And so Paul says, many more are bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some others from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I'm appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? So he's describing his situation. Paul says, what? Okay, that's what's going on. He says, but only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice. Paul said, I'm in jail. It's not working out the way we thought it would. But you know what? The word of God is being preached, and therefore I rejoice in it, even though he's locked up in jail. Now, beloved, how does that help you and I? I'll tell you how. Because there's some circumstances that you and I have right now. There's some circumstances we're walking through right now that we looking at how where it is, and we looking at it like, it ain't working out. It's just not working out. It's not working the way it ought to work out. But God is still on the throne. And your prayers have not been in vain. They're actually in a bowl in heaven. and it has not gone unnoticed. And God, in his time and in his own way, is going to bring the answer to your situation. So when we look at this, we realize that, and I'm seeing it over and over and over again, that we don't know it all. We don't have to know it all. All we have to do is obey the little that we do know. Obey the little that we do know. For the scripture says that Abraham got up and went to the land of Canaan. With the little bit that he had, he got up and he went to the land of Canaan. So my life and your life being his. And I've told you before how many times the Lord has said to me, he says, son, you are not your own. You're mine. You're bought with a price. And I'm going to have all of you. I'm going to have all of you. And that being the case, then, when he allows something that I'm not particularly comfortable with in my life, then I'm called to humble myself under the mighty hand of God and let him have his way, because he's still God. Now I could keep you here all day with story after story after story after story after story about in my own experience, by watching this happen, by seeing the Lord do it over and over and over again. And at times I've said, Lord, am I really that slow a learner? Am I really that slow a learner? I'm 51, Lord. And some lessons that I've seen, I said, Lord, it's taken me this long. Like, oh me. The Bible says he is long suffering. I tell you what, you'll learn to appreciate that as you grow older in the Lord. You will learn to appreciate that. Amen. All right. I'm going to save the balance of what I have for next week because it's too much to bring today. But that little bit, I hope you got something. I tell you, I certainly did. Amen. Let's stand. Father, we love you today. We thank you for your goodness. We praise you, O God, because you are most worthy of all praise and all honor and all glory and all devotion and dedication. Lord, you are worthy of it all. You are worthy of every life, O God, that you created, praising you and worshiping you and declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord. And thus shall it be. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. What you are worthy of, you will receive. What you are worthy of, you will receive. For all of creation shall declare that you are Lord to the glory of God our Father. And so we thank you now that you're Lord over our lives, that you are Lord over the universe, you are Lord over all things. And, oh, God, that you have our lives in the palm of your hand. Now, I bless your people. I bless the flock of God. Lord, all that is associated with us, Lord, your blessing touches it, Lord, and fills it, oh, God, and brings your purpose and your desire upon it. And I thank you, Lord, that you're doing all these things by the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us in the precious and matchless name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And everyone said amen. Amen and amen.
So, Eric, before you leave, I sent out an email that Mommy is turning 16. On January 28th. And so that's one of those numbers that we women think about, 16. I don't know, womanhood or something. I don't know. So, anyways, we know she won't be here. She'll be skating across the waters there to God's glory. That's right. So we just wanted to recognize your birthday. Amen. So now, Peaks is not here yet, people. You're going to be here at 3:30. We do have salad. Thank you, Diane, and fruit. Thank you, Marilyn. So, and then just fellowship, but the Peaks will be here. So if you all can just stay and help us not only to celebrate a birthday, let's sing happy birthday to I'm not leading, but and then, just bless her as she goes and for this competition, you know. So.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Mommy. Happy birthday to you.